are listening to Season 4 of The Voice Behind the Pen, hosted by author and screenwriter S.E. Dickens. We'd like to take a minute to thank all of the guests from Season 3 for coming on and sharing their expertise. Dicelle Swans, Michael Hall, Sandra Nicole, Bridget Evans, Reva Fry, Cody Bean, Brenda Hampton, Devin Bray Jr., Saffron Simone, Koi Marie, and Omega Keys. We have received a lot of feedback from both listeners and guests, and starting this season, we will be releasing episodes on Mondays and Wednesdays in order to keep up with demand and deliver a more consistent release of episodes. Be sure to check out the upcoming shows we have at www.theauthorscdickens.com. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send SC an email via the email link on the website. Also, be sure to check out SC's ghostwriting services and other works while you're on the page. So, as usual, kick back, grab whatever your go-to is to let loose, and please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I'm your host, author, and screenwriter, S.C. Dickens. And today I will embark on a journey into the enigmatic world of author Jonathan White. And his sinful, twisted tale, where darkness meets light and desire collides with morality, we are confronted with a haunting question: what is the worth of one's soul? Join me as I unreel the complexity of sacrifice, temptation, and the pursuit of the ultimate fulfillment through a series of thought-provoking questions. We'll navigate the intricate web of choices faced by Jonathan's characters, whose actions threaten to unreal everything. We prepare to explore the boundaries and necessity and the greed of dedicated balance between desire and damnation, and the timeless struggle between what we want and what we're willing to sacrifice. So without further ado, let's welcome my guest, Jonathan White. Good evening, Jonathan. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you taking your time and coming on, you know. And, you know, the rules of the game is Mondays I interview an author, and on Wednesdays I interview somebody in the film industry. And with today being Monday, I wanted to interview you and find out what made you become an author.
Honestly, interesting story. My grandmother was the one who put it in my head that I could actually be a published author. She told me that I was too creative to work on my job.
Okay. Can you tell us the theme of your book?
So my theme is fantasy, and it is about souls and what they're worth to you. So, like, Madame Grace is the main character, and she sold her soul to the demons who are trying to get into this world full-time because her daughter, who is a witch, fell in love with the pastor's son. So they lost everything because the Christians of the community ran to Grace for everything, especially the pastor's wife for four kids, when it came down to it, it wasn't any good anymore when it involved their kids. So it ended up running through the woods from the demons and becoming the owner of a brothel where they collect dark energy for the demons.
Okay. Can you introduce us to the main character's name?
So her name is Grace Montgomery. She is a witch. She is black. She's married to a white gentleman named Frank, and they run the Dragonfly Coven. And she does the Thousand Stars Ball Committee, and the side business is where she does potions and knots and stuff for the local men and women of the town. She's more of a go-getter. Like, she's always looking for the next thing and can't sell what she has.
Okay. Were there any challenges that you faced while writing your book?
My biggest challenge was time. Obviously, I work a regular job, sometimes 12, 13-hour shift, and it took me almost 10 years to the final product because of their commitments.
Okay. Without giving away a spoiler, can you tease us a little more about the plot?
Let's see. Right now, towards the end of the book, or the middle of the book, she finds Cece Dupree because the demons and the magic she had created come up with these, almost like a tarot card, with a marionette slash voodoo doll on it. And when the doll becomes animated, that is the tarot card you're supposed to acquire. And you hand them the card. Calvin is the one who hands them the card. He walks away. And subconsciously, they end up in front of the dollhouse.
Okay. Can you share any interesting backstories behind anything that you wrote?
Like I said, I write with a question, and the soul's question was really deep in my head at the beginning because I do have a fish faith background. And honestly, it also does opposite, where you're so used to the people in the church not being the most Christian-like and judgmental and this, that, and the other. And so that's why I wrote those characters the way I did, to show people that you could be in the church all day, but come down to it, you are here.
Yeah, that's an interesting statement, because I used to say all the time, you know, just because a person is in church doesn't make them spiritual as much as a person standing in a garage make them a car, you know? Yep. So yeah. So how did you decide on the storyline, like where it took place and everything?
I love a period piece. So this certain book ends up in the middle end of the Prohibition era, because I really like the idea of backwoods deals and running around being in secret situations. And I just really like that thought process. A big thing. And then I did New Orleans because I'm a big fan of like the originals and stuff, and I wanted to go there. That's why I did that. And Blackwood, Mississippi, which is where the Montgomery family's from, is I don't know where that came from. But I did that area because it is Prohibition, and it's pretty much like blacks and whites are still separate, not slavery. I like that contrast of this person and that person can come together for some things, but out in public, don't talk to them, don't do this, and all the rules still apply that did before from their ancestors and forefathers.
Okay. How much research had to go into your studies, or you just took it off the top of your head on what you thought things should have said or did?
Honestly, it depended on the chapter, because I wanted to... I created the characters in my head, and I didn't plan on making it like my main character was black, but I drew from personal situations because I was married once before and my wife was from Grenada, and her mom's from Grenada and her dad is white, and then I was white, and so we pulled from that own life lessons and struggle on what I put in the book. And I pulled like personality of my mother with the person image of her mother, and I grew this character who just molded into someone that was driven and viewed as tough and not as motherly, but all in all, she wants to take care of her kid, wants to take care of her family, but it doesn't portray us.
Okay. All right. Can you discuss any parallels between the fictional world and the reality of real life?
the real world is a tough place to navigate, and that is something that had to be really big for Contessa. Obviously, her parents are very powerful people, and growing up in the era she did, she was told to smile less and talk more. And it's really interesting because her mother is such a loud powerhouse and she commands a presence. So that was something that I had to learn with like my parents. They loved our opinion to a point, but you had to watch your tongue around certain people. You had to, what happened in the house stayed in the house kind of situation. And so that was kind of parallel with that. And then honestly, the reality of if I had come to you today and said, sign on the dotted line for whatever your wildest dream could be, let's say that you were starving or your father was beating you and I offered you safety and food and housing, how quick would you sign on the dotted line even though you hold a Bible in your hand? Yeah, so I went on a live on TikTok, and one lady said, I don't think I would sell it for anything but my kids. So there's always a price for someone. You just have to dig deep and be honest with yourself to find it.
You're not listening. You know, they always say that everybody and everything has a price. And to a degree, I believe that.
Yes.
I really, really believe that.
Yes, just depends on the circumstances.
Can you discuss any ethical or moral dilemmas faced by your characters?
I won't give too much away, but Madame Grace was about to get her soul back, and she had to look for bigger and better things in the horizon. So she went to the secret club in the French Quarter, and to get a spot at the table, she had to put Contessa into a situation that no sane mother or adult or parent would do. That was one of my biggest dilemmas. And the other one was the two of them had to conceal their magic at first, not knowing who they could trust and what they could trust when they arrived at the quarter, but eventually found out that they could navigate it pretty well. And then I guess ethically with myself, I guess writing a black character as a white man, that was a huge learning curve and navigation because I never want to do like a stereotypical black woman or a stereotypical someone who's the help. Like, I have this wonderful woman in my book called what's her name? Celeste, and she's the housemaid, and she's not an Aunt Jemima housemaid. She's loud and she's proud, and she would die for Contessa. It was a learning curve to me because obviously I'm not the same color, but these characters came to be in that image of being that way.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, my brother, everybody's entitled to write about who they want to write about and how they want to approach it. So don't, I tell everybody, be authentic with who you are as a writer.
Yeah.
You know, and you're never going to please everybody. So don't ever think that you're going to ever please everybody. Because you're going to get critics that's going to say, how dare you write about a black woman being a white guy or yeah. white male? You understand what I'm saying? Don't, yeah. you know, so.
And that was like with Contessa. Contessa's not only mixed race, she's also a more voluptuous woman. And personally to me, because I, at the time, was almost 310 pounds, I've only seen bigger people as the funny joke sidekick. And I really grew through Contessa to make a conscious effort to make a hero out of a big person and not make them the funny guy.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, just
the, you know, that always is, that's a lot of the case in the film industry. You know, the big person is supposed to be the funny one, you know.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, did you have any writer's block when you were putting this together, or you knew where you were going automatically?
I wrote the first 5 chapters, no problem. And I have no problem writing the meat of the story. I knew beginning, middle, and end. But the thing with a story is you have multiple characters and you have to draw your readers in with a side story and make them fall in love with the world and not the story. That was my biggest writer's block, was the side stories with like James, how did James, Contessa's boyfriend, find her? How did they sit there and go 5 years without knowing where they were? And those were my writer's blocks.
Are you looking to schedule a part 2 to this book, or you think it's going to be a standalone?
No, I want to do a part 2. But again, my biggest issue is, oh, where the story is going to go. It's going to end up being called Saving Grace. But the question of the story is, does Grace really want to be saved? She loves the power. She loves the next thing. So does she want to be saved, even though her daughter and her husband are trying to save her?
Okay. How do you measure success as a writer?
Honestly, I've always said this. I don't need to be famous. I want the money that comes along with it because then I can support my family. But as long as I truly am not living paycheck to paycheck, doing something that I love, that would be my success. That I can quit my 9-to-5 and do this full time. That would be my success story.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, you know, and a lot of authors that's been in the game for a long time, they'll tell you, do it for the love of the writing and the money will come.
Mm-hmm.
It might take years. It might take years, but you got to do it for the love of it, you know, because if you're doing it right out the gate for that, you know, it's not going to work.
Yeah, because then you're just doing this new trend where it's AI generated and you can get a story out in 2 months.
Oh, man.
That's a new thing.
Yeah, that is. I you know, I'm on the fence with the AI. You know, I could see it being a gift and a curse, but to have it like, totally write your book, you know, I don't know. I think that's a little unfair to writers.
Yeah, you know? I used AI for like my TikToks and stuff, and I put in, and they just finesse it.
Yeah. I could see if you used it like, yo, how would I write this better? Or, you know, you come up with the sentence or whatever, and you say, can you write this a little better for me? You know.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with getting a little help.
Yeah, that's cool because it's like having your own personal assistant, you know, or a beta reader that can, you know.
I remember that.
Excuse me. Have you ever had a beta reader read your book?
I've had just my editor and me read the book, but I've never even knew about beta readers. I didn't know that was an actual job. I just thought you sent it to a publisher and some secretary or assistant read it, and if they liked it, they would send it to their boss.
Okay. If you didn't write fantasy fiction, what other genre would you be interested in?
Well, I have to actually continue doing fantasy because I was talking to a book coach and she said, you're no Stephen King. You're not known for anything. So if you write for multiple genres, you're going to have a hard time getting an audience. Because I've done, I think, 20,000 words on 2 different books. One was a thriller called Out Crazy the Crazy, and then another book called Lizas, which is more like a rom-com. And I never wanted to be pigeonholed, but then I got back to reality when she told me, if I want a fan base, I need to give my fans what they want.
Yeah.
So that's why I went back, put those aside, and went back to writing my new concept. It's going to be a mafia style, but it's the five fractions of magic. And that's my next book. It's going to be called Blood Oath.
Okay. I'm going to tell you this, you know, and this is just writer to writer.
Which is good.
I'm a firm believer of, yeah, have a fan base, but I'm also a firm believer of have another pseudonym.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
So just, like go under a different name?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do it.
Interesting.
I do it. And you'd be surprised on what audience you'll capture from different genres under different names. And then when they find out that you wrote that under that name, it's like, wow, I didn't realize, you know? And sometimes that can help.
That's good. You know? Really good advice. Because I was discouraged because I wrote 40,000 words worth of people. And I'm like, now I've got to scrap it. So that is really good advice.
Yeah, just don't, you know, don't. Advice is good. Criticism is good. You know, yeah. It helps you. It toughens your skin. It makes you look at things differently. But always think outside the box. And that was my thinking outside the box. You know, on you might give your book to somebody that's Christian and they might be like, oh, man, I don't want to read that, this, that, and the third. But if you put something else out, you already turned them away from you. So they don't want to read it. And right. I've had that happen. You understand what I'm saying? But right. If you wrote it under another name and under another genre, they'll pick it up and be like, oh, this seems interesting. And now you're giving them an opportunity to see another side of you.
Interesting. And I had to learn that with my grandmother because I wanted to give it to her the book because obviously she's the reason I wrote it. And she is really like 45 minutes in the morning in the Bible, this, that, and the other. And she didn't want to finish the book because it had sexual scenes. But obviously it's a brothel. And I just explained to her the deep down Christian viewpoint and my viewpoint of the story.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're going to, like I said, you're going to get criticism.
Yes.
And, you know, it's how you handle the criticism is the most important part. You know, it could be good and it could be bad, you know, but always try to take something away from it. Know your audience. Know the difference between someone being mean and someone like really being interested in your writing and want to help your project along, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how do you stay motivated?
Honestly, I look at my family and that's a big thing, but also these characters have become my friends, which I guess most authors think that, and they need their story told. They're like, my wife is like, you look crazy right now. I said, well, so-and-so is having a fight with so-and-so and they won't stop. And yeah. So I want to give my characters their voices.
Was there any character that you disliked writing about, but you knew you had to use them?
I'd have to say the mayor. The mayor in the French Quarter was very hard to write. He did some very vile things, and when I was writing what he did, I actually verbally, as I was writing, say, I apologize, Contessa, for this, as if she was a real person.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy how, you know, in when you're writing your characters, you know, you become their friend or their enemy. Mm-hmm. But you know that they play a part in telling a story that you want everybody to read about.
Yes. And it's funny because, like, the people that have read my book,
mm-hmm.
James is betrothed to Tilly, who's, like, the rich white girl of the popular town, the fancy town. And everyone is her fan. They love her. And I said, y'all serious? So I said, I didn't like her. She was mean. She set fire to a whole bunch of people. There was a lot of death because of her and her jealousy.
Yeah. Ugh. Was there any moment while you were writing that there was some self-doubt in finishing it, the book?
Honestly, that I consider myself a Christian, and the fact that I wrote about a brothel and I wrote about sinners and sin, but I kept telling myself God was with the prostitute. He was with the people with disease and brokenness. And so I had to encourage myself and realize that this is what God wanted me to write.
Okay. Could you see you turning your book into a screenplay?
Either a screenplay or a TV series. Because if I do a TV series, I'd like to do 3 seasons. Preferably like a Ryan Murphy. So, and it's funny because you think about who would play these characters, and there is this one character I already told you, Celeste, and I actually based her off of, I think her name's Cheryl Underwood on The Talk. Because she did like season 1 or 2, they said, tell me about yourself. And she sat there and explained about how she had her sister and she took care of her sister who's special needs. But that's not what got me. She talked about her father and how he wasn't the best man. But because it was her father, she learned to love and understand him and grew an actual relationship. And so I would love to offer her the role of Celeste. So.
Interesting. What do you see yourself writing in 5 years?
5 years, a fan fiction series. I honestly want to do a series more than a standalone, just so I can build a world and get to go to things like Comic-Con, where you see all your fans dress up in costumes and act out what you see in your head.
Yeah.
So that is something I really want to do.
Yeah, those are interesting. What are some of the challenging, unique substances as a career as a writer?
The challenges is not everyone's going to get your thought process. Mm. They're not going to understand why you did it this way or that way, but it's because you're not writing. You are just telling the story of the people in your head. Because I had a lot of questions of why was this too graphic? Why did you portray this person this way? Especially like Grace, like I said, was based off my mother's personality. And to her, she's like, I'm not like that. And I said, when I was growing up, you worked 3 jobs just to get ahead.
Yeah.
It affected our childhood because we didn't see you and we preferred your time over your money. And so I still love you, but that's just my version of reality.
Okay. Do you have a favorite time of day to write?
I prefer the morning when the house is quiet so that I can just put on some music, some background noise, and get everything out. I'm not rushing to anything.
Okay. You prefer writing by hand, computer, or using typewriter?
You know what?
A lot of writers still, I know some writers that still use typewriters.
That's crazy. I start with a notebook, with character development, kind of getting the flow of the story. And then when I'm ready to go to my rough draft, I go to the computer so that I can save it. That's where I go. So I have my notes where I can flip back and forth, which is so much easier than doing it at a computer. And then I just able to write and look and follow along.
Okay. Can you share any tips on for a future writer?
This one's an easy one. Just because you're an author doesn't mean you're going to sell a book. You need to realize that you could have the best book in the world. You could be another J.K. Rowling, but if you don't know how to market and you don't know how to build your audience before your debut week, you're not going to see the sales you want to see. So you need to start thinking creatively how to be a businessman or woman.
Yeah, especially with self-publishing.
Yes.
You definitely have to, know how to be a business person. You got to know how to set these deals up, set these book signings up, set these, your books being in stores and everything,
That's how I got you. You put that ad on Facebook and I was marketing myself to you. And then I had to go market myself to two indie bookstores. And I'm just pushing myself out of my comfort zone and making it happen because there's no other way.
Yeah. Yeah, because nobody's going to do it for you.
Yeah, but not without the money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So many scam artists.
So if you could co-write a book with any author, living or dead, who would it be and why?
I would probably be like two, because they're like my two that I like right now. Melissa De La Cruz.
Okay.
She does the novels Blue Blood.
Yeah.
And I love the world she built. And then Cassandra Clare, who did the Shadowhunters. I just like that they build an immersive world. And you could honestly take all the original story and branch out to sub-stories.
Mm.
Because there's so much building involved. And I just love how descriptive they are. So like Cassandra Clare, I like how she did every other chapter, a point of view of another character. And Melissa De La Cruz, I love her descriptions. She's very descriptive.
Okay. What do you hope your readers take away from your writing?
Genuinely that under the surface of a brothel, there's still good people. They just happen to be in bad situations trying to find a way out.
Yeah. You never know your circumstances on what, what message you could pull off or, So in closing, can you share with everybody any final thoughts?
My final thoughts are don't stop writing. Say you're a writer, be a writer, write your grocery list or write anywhere, grab your pieces of paper and your pen and just stick them in your pocket because you never know when a idea will come.
Yeah. Okay. Can you share with everybody any social media website or how they can order your book?
TavarisEntertainment.com will get you a signed copy. I have it on Amazon, but I don't like using Amazon because of the fact that, they don't count every sale. That's something I've had to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn that. Unless you got good lawyers, you're not going to get the sale from Amazon. They're going to take your money.
Yeah. Amazon. That's another question. That's another conversation.
It is. I'm salty, but yeah. It's okay. As long as someone's reading my book, it's okay. But I am salty.
I encourage people to find a print-on-demand place and find out what it costs for them to ship or even just taking a road trip and getting it yourself, even if you got to drive several miles away to go pick them up.
That's a good idea.
And bring them back. And on your way back, you got to stop for gas. You got to stop for everything, And that's your opportunity to be a salesperson,
Outside your area.
Yeah, definitely. And that's your opportunity to, see the world and see who's out there, So
yes.
I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And I wish you continued success.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of Voice Behind the Pen podcast. This is your host, author and screenwriter, S.E. Dickens. Good night, everyone.